Hi, this is Jeff Hammond from Fox and Fox Sports 1, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. An honor to have one of the great personalities in motorsports on the line with us. Crew member, crew chief, worked with legends like Cale Yarborough, part of those great and amazing Darrell Waltrip championships, and even current superstars like Kurt Busch. Before he ran off to fill us in on racing as part of the team over at Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1, the one and only Jeff Hollywood Hammond, welcome to WGN.
Hey, it's an honor to be on. Really appreciate y'all reaching out and let me, talk to your fans and be a part of your program.
Well, it's exciting to have you on, and appreciate that as well, especially during such times. I mean, these are exciting times for racing. You know, the new format with the stage racing, it has proven to make, I think, more of the races more exciting. We've talked about that with a number of different guests and personalities in sports. But as we get down to it, you see a little bit of contention, the tension that is there, and you're seeing it because of the new system. You know, Martin Truex Jr., who has really ran away with the season, in years past it would have been a foregone conclusion, but now there's still a lot to be determined.
Yeah, it's really amazing how this subtle change with the stage racing has really energized and changed the thought process, not only of the drivers, but of the crew chiefs as they plan their strategy to try to work through the weekend, because it actually begins on Friday. Qualifying up front gives you an opportunity to possibly score some stage points, which we clearly can tell now that if you don't have stage points, you don't have insurance. If you don't pay your insurance, guess what? You wind up getting yourself in trouble. I think a lot of teams, when they reflect back and review 2017, they're going to realize the program that the 78 team of Martin Truex Jr. put together early in this year was the right one. And so right now it's playing out to where we're going to have one whale of a race this weekend in Phoenix to see who's going to get that final spot in Homestead, Miami. And more importantly, that final race in Homestead, Miami, it will be a barn burner, I can promise you.
Well, you know, Jeff, you hit on it because you use the word insurance, and that is kind of really what Martin Truex has done. He has raced really well at all different tracks. He has gotten all of those opportunities to get those extra points, and he needed insurance as well as he's done. There have been a number of times throughout the season where just stuff, it's racing, right? It comes out of the blue, you can't control it, and kind of knocks you out of certain situations, but he's always had kind of that backup there to keep him going.
Yeah, I think it gives you kind of like a confidence that very few teams have had this year, and that was the fact that, you know, if we do make a mistake, if I decide I want to go for the win and I get into somebody and something goes wrong, a little bit like what happened to him at Indianapolis. You know, he had the fastest car there along with Kyle Busch, and they wrecked each other. But because of the strength that he had already exhibited early part of the year, it really didn't hurt him, and he was able to maintain his point lead. Another glaring example to what my point is, it's what's happened to Kyle Larson. He loses one engine at the wrong time, and he didn't have enough insurance points, and it cost him an opportunity to progress in this championship fight.
And how crazy is that, right? As great a season as he had, he just didn't do those little things, and he was able to have his whole season. It didn't end, obviously, he's getting out there, but you could see just the way he's dejected. It's a different guy than the guy that was competing for that championship. And you look at it, it's got all the elements, too, where you've got a guy that hasn't been. He's in no man's land. Great driver, Martin Truex. Everybody knows that. But this is uncharted territory for him, kind of being right there, ready to take a championship. And you've got guys, you know, like Tony Stewart, a team Stewart Haas, and you've got Kevin Harvick in there. Of course, Kyle Busch. I mean, and you could see, tell me what you think, you know, as a crew chief and also as somebody on the owner side, how much confidence, maybe almost like the eye of the tiger, does it give Stewart Haas and Kevin Harvick's team for them having taken him on one-on-one in a situation like that and just beat him straight up?
Well, that's what you need. I mean, you need to get inside that guy's head and let him know that even though you've dominated me all year long, we're now in what they call a championship rounds, and I'm a totally different opponent. You know, I've basically taken everything you could throw at me, including the fact you won seven races, and now I'm starting to find my way. And more importantly, I'll give races to you because I want a championship. And, you know, Kevin has already won a championship, so he knows what it's going to take. They don't call him the closer for nothing. Right. So all of these things kind of factor in. And my own personal experience in 1985, when we wound up winning like three races in 85 compared to Bill Elliott's dominant, you know, like what, 11 or 12 that he won that year, we beat him for the championship. And it's all about how you close and how you stay close in his early rounds so that you can basically go for the knockout punch when it matters. I mean, at this point in time, Martin Truex Jr. is going to be in that championship round. But can he put Kevin Harvick away? Can he put Kyle Busch away when it matters the most? And that's what's going to make this thing, I think, so compelling, is these teams that are there are already, they're the best of the best. I mean, I'm not saying that Kyle Busch is not, I mean, Kyle Larson is not a great race car driver and not had a great season, but these are premier drivers and teams right now that have the experience to really, go at it like you want to see a championship round finished.
And it's the seasoning too. It's like you can have all the talent in the world. There's no substitute for experience and being kind of battle tested in there. When you talk about it and you think championships and Jimmy Johnson, we've had a lot of listeners that for some reason, and he's the kind of guy that you just can't count him out, especially since he's had seasons where he's been sort of off the radar for the entire year and then comes back and races so well at the end. And I don't know if he's had it this year at all. It looks like he hasn't, but people aren't counting Jimmy Johnson out.
Well, it's all because his past track record, as you've already kind of pointed out, proves it that way. When you bet against him, like they did last year, and yeah, he had some racing luck whenever Carl Edwards, crashed out at Miami. It opened the door for those guys. But Jimmy had never won at Homestead, but what does he do? He wins that final race. He wins this seventh championship. So this man, this team, they somehow or another, they have the racing savvy and the racing luck on their side when they need it the most. So this weekend, even though the odds makers and all of us supposedly experts say, hey, it's done, because they don't have what they need to be able to get the job done, that the odds are against them, anything could happen. So, yeah, you're right. It's Jimmy Johnson. So when you're sitting there thinking on Sunday morning, do I move him on or how do I do this? It's going to be real hard for people to move Jimmy on, but it doesn't mean he might not step up and just, get it done.
Yeah, and I think what we've seen here is we have seen some of the most, and it's because of a lot of these tweaks that have happened, some of the most exciting racing in a long time. And it has really, added an element of drama to the championship, which I think is what you need. You need the drivers. You need a lot of indecision. You can't have foregone conclusions. And I think it leaks over to the fans. The fans are excited about it. I know the TV ratings have been really good. When you look at a lot of the stuff in the stands, I know the economy isn't great for everybody, but you're not seeing the same kind of attendance that you would like to see there. And I know that NASCAR is always, it's one of those forward-thinking sports, always kind of changing and adapting to try to kind of connect with more people and kind of enlarge the tent that they're in. You, as a guy that has always been one of those great personalities, you have worked with some of, the great person, whether it's a Darrell Waltrip for sure, whether it's even Kenny Wallace. Kenny Wallace is one of, and we've had him on a bunch of times, one of our favorite, one of everyone's, favorite personalities in racing. In your honest opinion, what is it that they can do as you see a time where we're sort of shifting away from the established superstars and you see so many of them just being kind of pushed out to the edge in unprecedented ways and bringing in new guys? What is it that NASCAR needs to completely connect and kind of blow the sport up another time?
I still believe that what made our sport great in the very beginning when I first got into it back in the 70s is the fact that it's our fans. And our fans are different than football fans and baseball fans because they're used to being around their favorite drivers. You got to realize that the local short tracks where these drivers come from, this is where they started their fan base. This is where they had an opportunity for once the races were over with. They were sitting on the back of their trucks, talking about the race. Fans would come by. They'd get to know them. And when they made the leap to NASCAR, the fans followed them. And I think these younger drivers have got to go kind of turn back the pages of history to be more like the Richard Petty's, the Darrell Walters, of that period, to where you get that personal one-on-one relationship. And I think that's one reason why Dale Earnhardt Jr. has done so well. Has he been a great race car driver? By some people's standards, no. But as far as a great personality and ambassador for our sport, yeah, he's exactly what we want, because everybody thinks Dale's the kind of guy you can go sit down and have yourself, a Mountain Dew with or a cold beer, And that's what everybody loves about him. So when he makes the transition from being a full-time driver into, basically an owner and more a more real ambassador for our sport, we need some of these younger guys to go and take some lessons from the king, start signing autographs, write your name so you can read it, and connect and look these people in the eye and be appreciative of what they're doing. They're spending their hard-earned money to come and celebrate your talents and your blessings as a race car driver. That's the main thing. When I go to any event, I always take away the fact that the fans themselves they talk to about their favorite driver in a personal context. They really connect, and that's where we have to replace that kind of feeling with these new drivers. They've got to work extra hard to make that personal contact, and not just because all fans. No, your fans. Make your fans greater than anybody else's, and you're going to force the driver beside you to work with his fans to make them, you know, follow him and be greater than yours. So you kind of like you create a competition away from the racetrack as much as you do on the racetrack.
You know, I mean, you're so right, because it's, you know, I think racing and a lot of the drivers and the brands that are associated with them kind of be extensions of the fans. And you've got, and you mentioned some of those individuals, you almost, even if you've never met them, and 99% of the fans may never actually meet them in person, you feel like you know them, right? And I know it's not as easy as maybe some of the other sports, because you're in a car, you're with a helmet, and they don't have the same maybe general media exposure that maybe some other sports may offer the personalities. But you're right. I think in some of those drivers, I think we have some of these younger drivers. Bubba Wallace is a guy we've, you know, we're friends with here on the show, and I think he's going to be one of those guys, sort of gets it on that level. You've got Ryan Blaney is another one. I think you've got a lot of really great young drivers, and I think that needs to be one of the things that's impressed upon them, is even though there may not be a dollar figure attached with standing and kind of getting with the fans, and a lot of things are monetized, is do what you can, right, to connect in as many ways as you can.
You're dead on. And, you know, you mentioned Bubba Wallace. I've had the privilege of working with him on some projects that he has done when he first showed up on the NASCAR scene. And he's a great young man. He's got a super personality. He's got a ton of talent. And hopefully this year we'll get a chance to see more of that coming out, driving for, like I say, the King. And he is the great example that I keep referring to, because yeah. Richard established a brand. And how many years ago was that established, and how has it endured? How has it been able to carry him and his whole organization throughout the years, and him personally? I mean, he can go just about anywhere, and if somebody sees that iconic cowboy hat and his wraparound sunglasses, they know it's Richard Petty. I mean, it's automatic, and that's what you're trying to do. I mean, that's what I would tell all these young drivers, that you're trying to build your own brand. You're trying to make yourself to where, whether you like it or not, this is who you are. This is what you need to be for the benefit of your own self, but more importantly, of the sport. I mean, that's to me, when you think about legends, when you think about golf, when you talk about golf, automatically Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, that's who comes out, because they connected with the masses. It's the same with any other sport. I mean, anybody that's ever really been like a number one go-to type of individual, they always had the fan following. And I think that's what we've always got to remember, is that we are absolutely nothing without our fans.
Well, it's exciting stuff, exciting times on the track. I got to say, you just get excited for it. And the way that they've done it, the drama is getting there for the Monster Energy Cup, the first in the series for them as a title sponsor. I think it's been a really nice fit. I think it's fit really well. But it also, as much as there's exciting times, it's also, as you said, these are important kind of pivotal times as the sport is going through a transition in a lot of different ways, and highlighting, showcasing new drivers, new business situations. A lot of the things, one of the people I've talked to, it's changed quite a bit on the ownership side. Like, in your opinion, like, how has it changed? Is it offering opportunities for new companies to get involved, or is it the kind of, as sponsors, which I think it probably would, but, or is it, it's also maybe kind of forcing some of those teams and NASCAR in general to get savvy with some of these new ways to connect on the marketing side?
Again, all the above. We've got a lot of new companies out there that still realize that, you know, you can get a lot of bang for your buck, you know, getting into NASCAR. All the different venues that we go to across the United States, you can pick and choose. You don't have to get in totally, you know, for the entire season. You know, you can get lucky enough to cut a deal for 2, 3, 4, 6 races if that's what your company budget can withstand, and you can make the most out of it. And I think that's where we still have to push that forward, and we keep going back to the personalities. I mean, you mentioned Kenny Wallace. I mean, Kenny and I are buddies. Kenny has never been, you know, like a championship driver, but he's always been a guy that's been very passionate about driving, yeah, including today. You know, all of down his dirt modifieds and everything that he continues to do, and his involvement with television with FS1. But it's all about his personality. Kenny is one of those kind of guys everybody automatically connects with. And, you know, that's what we want to do with all of our people that are in the sport today, is make them all more like Kenny Wallace's, you know, I don't want to be quite that dramatic. Now, just don't laugh. Don't laugh, because I know what you're getting ready. You're going to get ready to give me one of them. Kenny Wallace laughs. But that's what people love about Kenny. That's who he is all the time. And when you follow him on Twitter or Facebook, that's the personality that is genuine.
Yep.
And that genuine personality is the same thing that usually carries our drivers forward and makes them everlasting. Even I talk about a gentleman, Harry Gant, drove the Skull Bandit.
Yep.
Had some folks down in Mississippi the other day talking about him. And he still is respected and remembered because of how he conducted himself and how he did on the racetrack was great, but also, yeah, even though that car is not running now, it's one that is still living with so many race fans. When you mentioned the Skull Bandit, automatically Harry Gant. You know, it's that's the kind of legacy you're trying to build, and I think that today it's still strong, and we just got to continue to figure out how to keep it going stronger. Because you know, I've been doing this now for over 40 years, and I'm still excited about it as much as I was the first day I got a chance to go to the racetrack in North Wilkesboro and help a guy named Tiger Tompkins Stone, who was out of Chicago, Illinois. That's where he grew up racing, Soldier Field and everything.
Yes.
He was very much very helpful as far as my career, and still love to get a chance to sit down and talk to him today. He's one of those legends that a lot of people don't really know about, but he's a great personality, and again, he's one of the men that helped kind of set my feet down the path of working and racing.
Yeah, and locally here, you know, Fred Lorenzo. No, you hit on it. You've mm-hmm. got to be able to make those connections to the legends of the past. You got to bring it forward, stand on the shoulders of them, and move forward and really connect with fans, because there is a lot of there's a lot of competition for eyeballs and attention and dollars. But you know, I know that, and I've shared this with the listener. There's absolutely no sport. There is no sporting opportunity. There's very few experiences that can compare to a live racing experience, specifically NASCAR. You know, all of the senses are touch. It is something that that really, you know, television, as much as you guys do it, you know, this has been there for the longest time. It doesn't do it the justice that it deserves, and you got to get out there and experience one of these things live. Well, you guys have done that and shared all that on the broadcasting side. So many of the great personalities, including yourself, have done that. So before we let you go, Jeff, let people know how they can keep up with you on social media, see all the work that you're doing on Fox, and enjoy what you're doing this weekend.
Well, easiest thing to keep up with me on Twitter is at Hollywood Jeff. You can keep up with me there that way. You know, I got a Facebook page. It's Jeff.Hammond. And as far as the television is concerned, and you know, we're still doing Race Hub, getting ready to shoot a war room for our final war room for Race Hub that's going to be coming up on Monday. And then we got PRN Radio. I'm still doing stuff for Performance Racing Network. I'll be there Monday night at 7:00 with Fast Talk with Doug Rice this week, and then the following weekend after Homestead, we'll be talking about the champion. So we still got a lot of racing to do, a lot of opportunities. Plus, you never know, you may see me at some of these racing shows during the off season that some of these local towns have up in the Pennsylvania area.
Well, we're blessed to have you. One of the greats, whether it's all the stuff that happened on the track and in and around the track, and also, so of course, on the television side with Fox. So thanks for what you're doing. Excited to hear all of this as it breaks down and your thoughts and insights on it as we all kind of move forward to this championship. And thanks for being on WGN today.
Hey, like I said, I was honored, and it's been a pleasure talking to you. And, hey, you know, keep up the great work, because, you know, it's folks like yourself and programs like you've got that help keep the word out there and give us an opportunity to reach out to not only our regular faithful fans, but also to touch maybe new ones and show them a side of our sport that maybe they never knew about. And as you've already pointed out, you need to get in the car, go get a ticket, and experience the sight, the sound, and the smell of a NASCAR race.
Anytime, Jeff Hammond. Anytime. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.